comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble!
It's Nerds United.
Hello and welcome to Maiden Voyage, essentially, of Nerds United Live. We're on YouTube and Facebook, and we hope that you find us and be a part of the conversation and part of this community that we have here at Nerds United. I'm your host, Greg Mahochko, and if this is your first ever Nerds United experience, I've had this podcast in its original form since 2013. And gosh, 2019, I think, something like that, is when I brought over my good friend, co-host of the year, Mike Luther, to join us regularly. So we are here, we are live, and we're excited to discuss, as you heard in the intro, comic books, movies, TV, all that good nerdy content. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I was busy today. Well, actually, I was only busy for the last little bit of time. But we were going to start this at 8:30, and then it was like 8:20, and I still wasn't home. And so I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it in time.
You were at the gym, weren't you?
No, I have to go to the gym after this.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask where you were then. Now it's officially none of my business. Okay. if it's the gym, I know we talk about it. If it's not the gym, it's something else. We are excited because within the last month, 6 weeks, we've earned a really good follower on our YouTube content. He is a regular on the Five Heart show that I do for Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. Fred Sacco is his name. He is watching us live right now. And the joke, even though this is my show, it's always been my show, the Five Heart Podcast has always been my show, but I've been demoted to panelist. So Fred is here, and the panelist carries over. So yeah, I'm the panelist here. I'm the panelist there. Fred, thank you so much for joining us. And hey, drop a comment in here as we go along. This is what makes the live show so much fun, is the interaction between us and the viewers. So, Mike, we're just going to do our best to keep this the way we always do. And that is, we always start the show with, man, what have you been reading? What have you been up to this past week?
So I didn't get any new comic books, but I started reading my Frankenstein Agents of Shade, which I can never remember what Shade stands for. I think it's Superhero Advanced Something Executive, Defense Executive Execution, something. I don't know. Anyway, it's pretty good so far. And then I've also been reading my Dead Man one. I finished one, and I don't remember which one it is. It was the DC versus Vampires one, volume one. It was good. I dropped it off at the library.
So. Superhuman Advanced Defense Executive.
Ah, there we go. Good old Shade.
Fred, I did Google that.
one thing about it is that there's like a version of the Creature Commandos in it. Like they're called the Creature Commandos. It's not the Creature Commandos that we're going to see from the Gunniverse in 2025, I think. 2024, late 2020. I think it's 2025.
I know it's the first like James Gunn DC project, yeah. Outside of what he's done with the Suicide Squad and the Peacemaker, when he's taken over the studio. So I think 2025, it's hard to believe that that's already, it's both coming up quickly, but it's also a year away.
Yes. Yeah.
But
that's going to be a good year.
2024 is going to bring us Deadpool and Wolverine. So
yes,
might be the only thing we have to look forward to this year.
Well, I'm on Sunday, actually, I'm going to go see Ghostbusters.
Really?
Yes.
I had planned on talking about that later in the show, but I know it's in theaters now. So is Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
Okay.
Ghostbusters, I think it's doing very well commercially, but as far as some of its critical reviews, I think, it's not, it's what, the lowest rated in the Ghostbusters franchise on Rotten Tomatoes, I believe.
And I wonder if that's I'm assuming the not the first, the last Ghostbusters Afterlife, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that did pretty good critically. Like, I know I really liked it, but I'm wondering if since that was so good, if people had higher hopes for this one, and if it didn't meet them, then it's like, well, it's really bad. Like, normally they'd rate it a 5 out of 10, and this, but they were expecting greatness, and so now it's a 2 out of 10.
Right. Yeah. So you know the bar being raised. So yeah. Ghostbusters Afterlife, the audience score for that on Rotten Tomatoes is 94%.
Okay.
The tomato meter, I guess maybe that's the critical score, I'm not entirely sure, is 64%.
Okay.
So quite a, I mean, I dare I say, we talked about this quite a bit in the past. I don't give two flips about what somebody else thinks about a movie. If I'm interested in, I'm going to watch it. we'll get to that, Fred. But Fred says he loved Afterlife. Here, the sequel is meh. And you know, again, it's so tough to, to judge them all. You know,
yeah.
Again, we our nature is we like to view things and decide for ourselves. You know,
here's
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'll say I'm going to have fun. So.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have a good time. I know that,
and that's kind of my approach. Is you know, even the audience score is 84%. You know, the critical score is 44%. But if I'm going to the movie theater, it's because I've got some vested interest in it. You know, and I'm excited to see it, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't just go throwing money away to something like, this is gonna be a real stinker. It's not how I roll. Also that Fred, because he's a dual viewer, and the joke over on the Five Heart podcast is that I don't stick to the script and don't follow the notes. So the fact that I'm attempting a format in this, debut live show, nice comic reference, 'cause he says bizarro planet. What bizarro planet are we on?
I don't know if we really, I mean, we somewhat have a format, but it goes off the rails pretty quickly.
It does. And that's my fault.
No, it's quite all right. Perfect. It's enjoyable. Yeah.
I appreciate that. So what did I read? So I finally did finish Kingdom Come.
You've had that for many years.
Hmm?
I said, you've had that for many years.
I've had that, but I didn't find it until a month ago.
No, that's not your first time reading it, is it?
No, it's not. No.
Okay. That's what I was saying.
I read that a few times.
Yeah.
But I, you know, because there was such a long period. When I was getting a few comics when I was a kid, you know, like one off a spinner rack or something like that at a grocery store here or there, it was, you know, mostly X-Men stuff. You know, I remember in fifth grade, I paid $2 and I got 2 trade paperbacks from a kid in my class. So I was like, that was a heck of a deal, for that time. But then I stopped getting comics for a number of years until I want to say 07. So there's a good chunk of stuff that I missed. When I found Kingdom Come, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, honestly, till just when I was, looking at more information on it here within the last few weeks, I didn't realize that story came out like 96.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a golden oldie. So.
I mean, a lot of the comic books I read are older ones.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
So I did finish that. And before I talk about what else I've been reading, because I picked up another of my books that I had started and set down. Kingdom Come is an Elseworlds story. Again, Mark Waid and Alex Ross. And I don't know if I'll ever forgive Mark Waid for what he does to Batman in the epilogue of this story, this trade paperback. So Kingdom Come there's a rift. It's almost like Marvel Civil War, in that you have factions of heroes who are each one kind of has their opinion of which way is the right way. And on one side you have Batman and like, you know, more human, non superpower beings like Green Arrow's in this group, etc. You know, Superman and Wonder Woman are sort of on the same team, and then you have this new crop of metahumans who didn't ever really have a whole lot of leadership, and so they're, you know, a lot more wanton violence. And at the end of the day, there's a nuclear blast, poor Kansas, and you know they realize, ah, we've been going about it the wrong way. How can we fix this? Anyway, fast forward a year, and you have Clark Kent, you have Diana, Wonder Woman, and you have Bruce Wayne all meeting up in this superhero-themed diner for lunch. And I will never – I don't think I'll ever forgive Mark Waid for what he did to Bruce Wayne here. I'm going to put the picture up of the page, and you have the three that are going to take their order from this Robin costumed server. And when they get to Batman or Bruce Wayne, he says, "Steak well done." Oh. And he reiterates that twice. And all I can think of is, what a way to ruin a good steak.
Batman is not a steak well done person at all. He's a medium rare guy.
Batman's like the raw eggs in the morning.
Yeah.
Type, you know?
Yeah.
So when I saw this, it broke my heart. And you know, this version of Batman, if he's going to order a steak well done, you have to think that he also probably is putting ketchup on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. 100%. Yeah. He's asking for ketchup. Absolutely.
Fred, who is here watching us, will be happy to know that he's not the only dual channel fan of our stuff, because our best friend of the show, Josh Hansen, can't stay. He's at the in-laws, but he misses us. And he says, by all of you, he means Mike.
Yeah, I miss you too. I miss you too.
So, enjoy time with the in-laws. In-laws are great people as well. So, yeah. So anyway, Mark Waid, what have you done? And it makes me wonder if Mark Waid's ever had a properly cooked steak.
No. Absolutely
because not. If you're writing it in the book that you want a steak well done, you got to think that you've never eaten a proper, like Mark Waid. You bring Alex Ross, come out to my house. I'll cook you some terrific ribeyes. That'll be just perfect. And Fred says he misses Josh more. Mike will come over. You know, you can autograph some books. It'd be a good time. But we'll have our own little cookout Comic-Con. That's a good idea.
Yes. I think we've talked about steak on here. You're a ribeye person, salt and pepper, right?
S&P, the choice for me.
Yes. And medium, I'm guessing?
Medium rare.
Medium rare? Okay.
Like I like a fair amount of pink in my steak.
Okay. See, I don't mind it now. As a kid, when I didn't have taste buds, I would want everything well done. Because
and steak sauce.
Yeah, 100%. Steak sauce and definitely A1 and have it well done. Because I was like, well, you can't have, why would you want to have pink in the middle? But now it's like, I'm more medium. So there's a little bit of pink. Medium, I'll go sometimes medium well. Actually, I remember going from well done and then hearing about like, okay, no, you like there's more flavor to it if you have it undercooked, so to speak. Right. So I would go, but they said like transition to medium well. So it's, there's, for medium well, there's not really any pink, maybe just very little, but it's not overdone. That's what well done is burnt, is what it is.
Yeah.
But then I transitioned from medium well to medium. My nephew, I believe, goes medium rare. Last time this was several years ago, Dean Bean. He went medium rare when we went out to eat steak at, where did we go? I think Texas Roadhouse, whatever it's called.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Over in Shiloh?
Probably, yeah.
Fred says, during the pandemic, was getting Nebraska Wagyu for $13 a pound because the fancy restaurants were all closed and was eating them three times a day.
Okay.
That
sounds fancy.
It's an investment, really.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to paying for a good steak, but what I won't do is get crazy. You know, like if you see these reels or TikToks, things like that, where they're putting like gold leaf flake on top of them, like
it does nothing.
It does nothing. It probably ruins it. It's, and it can't be good for your system.
No.
Like, I don't need to shit gold.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that. That'd be cool. You know, to be honest with you.
I mean, if my dog was doing it, I'd be out on the back of the lawn right now.
Yes, yes. By the way, Nebraska Wagyu sounds both fancy and not at all fancy.
Well, Fred says they were so good. Bought them by the slab, cut his own. Okay. They're so good. So I've never had Nebraska Wagyu.
No,
I've never had
Wagyu.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never had Kobe beef.
No, nope.
I've had just grade A prime, just like me. No, I don't know.
Yes. we call you the steak of Nerds United.
Oh gosh. That's cause I'm fat and flavored. Never mind. I'm not going to finish that. All right,
now
so,
I want steak, actually.
Yeah, yeah. We almost got steak at the grocery store last week. Ashley said, you know, what do you want? I'll put something on the grill on Sunday. Yeah. And I looked at the steak, and the steak was $19 a pop.
Yeah.
And so what I got instead were country-style ribs, pork, okay. You know, and perfectly good, flavorful cut of meat. And I got those for, like, $2.75 a pound.
Now you just grill those?
Yeah. Yep. Hit them with some rub, grill, hit them with some barbecue sauce.
I've never grilled ribs before. Really the only thing I've grilled is hamburgers, brats. I have grilled a steak before and it turned out pretty good. Chicken I don't like grilling because it's a very fine line between undone and burnt.
Yeah.
You know, like it happens quickly.
You're dead or you're eating ash.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So full disclosure, I want to make sure I'm very clear on this because, you know, maybe some. So country style ribs are almost like, don't think of like ribs in the traditional sense.
Okay.
Like, you know, like baby backs or spare ribs, things like that. It's mostly, I don't know exactly. I think it's like almost like shoulder roast or something.
Okay.
That's just the way it's cut, but it's got a nice bit of fat on it that you can, you know, kind of caramelize it and crisp up a little bit. It's almost like eating a big fat pork steak. If the pork steak were like this tall and this wide and about yay long. So
I'm looking at a picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
You can come over to my house and have one out of the fridge right now if you want.
All right. See you in a bit.
We'll finish the show when you get here. All right. So enough about food, at least for now, because we're going to talk more about food later on in the show. But the other thing that I was reading and really picked it up today after I was able to put down for at least for now, Kingdom Come is X-Men, The Rise of Apocalypse. And the first four, I guess, chapters, which are still a fair portion of the book. I mean, it's not just four regulars. It's about yay much are, you know, you have Apocalypse. I can't remember his Egyptian name. I wanted to get it right, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to risk it. And it's his kind of coming to power in like ancient Egypt. So that's pretty cool. It almost had me thinking like, you know, I should watch X-Men Apocalypse again. But yeah. I'm like, no, I shouldn't.
No. Well, I mean, you could. Maybe you'll appreciate the comic book even more.
That's true. You know? The portion of the book now is, as you can kind of see where I'm at with my bookmark there, is actually, I feel like it's an Eternals issue or Dane Garrison, oh. Garrison, the Black Knight. So I think what they're doing is now maybe they're picking out samples and selections of, you know, throughout Marvel comics that tell a little bit more of Apocalypse's story, you know, throughout time. So this particular issue is like, I don't know, it's like Black Knight number 2, and it's definitely set in like the Crusades era. So they talk about a great pharaoh. So,
by the way, speaking of X-Men, are you up to date on X-Men 97?
I did. I watched the third episode last night.
Are we getting Cable?
I mean, Cable was in the original series too.
Well, isn't that what's going on?
Yeah, like, but he's that's how that's Cable's origin story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's born in modern time to Cyclops and Jean, or I guess at least in this version, Madeline Pryor, something like that. He is injected with the techno virus, and he's sent to the future where they actually have a cure for it.
Yeah. So I was like, okay.
But the unfortunate part is, you know, at no point, maybe they'll retcon, maybe he'll come back, you know, later in the season or something like that. But at no point in the 90s run did he ever say, I mean, you have Gene telepathically like reading his mind and finding out, but there was no disclosure. You know, there was no, hey, we're going to send this child off. It's okay because we're going to see him. You know, we saw him last week when he came and helped us defeat Apocalypse or whatever. So, speaking of Apocalypse, so it's nuts.
Hey, that's okay. I mean, they make changes all the time in comic books. That's standard.
And I really thought that they would extend that Madeline Pryor storyline more than just the one episode. Like I thought that they resolved that far quicker than I anticipated. But it is what it is. I'm not mad at it. I feel like, you know, obviously they can't have Magneto being the big bad, and I don't really want to see Apocalypse. I'm really curious to know where they're going to go exactly with Mr. Sinister, because we already saw him infiltrating Morph's mind a little bit in this most recent episode again. So, yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't he infiltrating everybody's mind?
That's true, because they were all kind of in hell, if I recall.
Yeah.
So
yeah, look, I'm enjoying it. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't think I would stay, and I want to know your stance on this is. They're doing another Phoenix storyline.
I hope not. Just read that, that comment, Mike.
I heard they remade it for modern times and Cable has changed to streaming. I'm going to call them streaming from now on. That would be great. I hope they do that. I hope they do.
These are the gems we get every week on the Five Heart Thread. So,
can you imagine? Hold on. I'm sorry. Can you imagine the uproar? If he comes back and they're like, he's like, I'm streaming now.
Oh, like stream where? Be like, Hulu.
Yeah. Hulu, Netflix, let's go.
Right. that's who he came back with.
Yeah.
the new networks.
Yeah.
Instead of the new Mutants.
HBO Max. No, just call me Max.
Yeah. Paramount.
Paramount.
I mean, Disney's a little too on the nose, so
no.
let's see. If they're doing more Phoenix stuff, I don't want more Phoenix stuff right now. Like,
I kind of thought the same thing.
I am Phoenixed out.
It seems like that's the only storyline that X-Men has, apparently. Because constantly doing it. And look, here's the thing. I know it's the most popular for sure. Mm-hmm. But there's decades of X-Men storylines. You got to have something.
I would, and here's the thing we talked about last week, I think, is I did skip around those last two or two and a half seasons of the OG series.
Yeah.
They do introduce like Nightcrawler in them. There are a lot of great stories that you could have. Because it's set in the 90s, and I don't know, maybe this is just like my reading brain in conflict with they could do whatever kind of stories they wanted. And maybe even with some of what they're doing here in X-Men 97 pulls from, you know, some stories that take place after like the 90s, you know, but like the big story for them for the last few years is that Krakoa, whatever it is, you know. That could be interesting. Rachel Summers. I mean, there are a lot of different, you know, strings you could pull that don't always go back to Phoenix.
Yeah.
So I'd really just like to put Phoenix. I mean, we saw Phoenix we saw Jean Grey manifest the version of Phoenix. It's like, I was once the cosmic entity and your powers are nothing compared to mine, blah, blah, blah. And like, that was okay. You know, like I felt like it didn't lean too on. It wasn't dependent on, you know, like that story moving forward. I don't want that to be where the next 7 episodes, right? Is it 10 episodes or is
10.
It?
10. Yeah. Yeah. 10, okay, 10 so, total, I believe.
Yeah. So I don't need the next 7 episodes leaning into more Phoenix.
No. So. Granted, if it is, I'll still watch it. I mean,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah.
So, Mike, let's see. While we're talking about shows that are streaming, I did throw up this. Actually, I think the trailer came out after we recorded, maybe before we recorded, but I wanted to make sure that our stuff got out before I posted it. Anyway, there was a trailer for a new Netflix series called Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos is a contemporary spin on Greek mythology, and it is going to be, I guess, maybe like a dark comedy, but it's also going to star Jeff Goldblum. So, I mean, where are your thoughts on more Greek mythology in a modern setting? Like, I mean, Percy Jackson is, I think, kind of the one that is an obvious go-to, but that's more aimed at kids. I don't think Chaos is going to be aimed at children at all.
It doesn't seem like, no, it definitely doesn't seem like it's aimed for kids. I saw the teaser trailer. I didn't get too much from it. I'm not for it. I'm not against it, though. Like, it's mm-hmm. I'll see another trailer, because that was just a very quick teaser.
Right, right.
Like, I think honestly, it was like 30 seconds long or something. Like, it seemed really quick.
It was short. Yeah, you didn't get a whole lot out of it. It is going to be, I guess, the showrunner, if I'm looking at this correctly, showrunner's Charlie Cavell. Known for a successful series on Netflix that she had, The End of the Bleepin' World. And the direction director is Georgie Banks Davies, who did, among other things, Paper Girls over on Prime Video. It seems like it has a pretty nice little pedigree as far as some of the creators behind it. We mentioned Jeff Goldblum. I'll be honest with you, I don't recognize a ton of names in the cast. Billy Piper is going to be in there briefly. I think she was in Doctor Who. You have David Thewlis is in there. I mean, just a largely, I think, British cast, with the exception of Jeff Goldblum. So don't, you know, and it was my understanding that he actually took that role after the series parted ways with Hugh Grant.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they were looking for an all English cast, and then Hugh Grant left and like, well, we're all out of Brits. Let's get Jeff Goldblum.
Does it say when it gets released? I'm trying to look and I don't see, it just says 2024. Oh no. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. 2024.
Yes. Fred, Billy Piper was Rose in Doctor Who, which I want to say was the ninth Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was the Christopher Eccleston Doctor before David Tennant. Fred says awkwardly kind of unappealing yet hot. So
that's how people describe. That's how people describe me, except for the hot part.
Yeah, I just awkwardly kind of unappealing.
Awkwardly kind of unappealing.
You can do better than all of them, Mike.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, that was right. Started with 9, went to 10. I remember Doctor Who because I watched the first episode or two with my wife, and then like I'd go to work because we were on different schedules, and next thing I know, like I'm coming home, I'm like, hey, you want to watch Doctor Who? She's like, I'm on the next season. I'm like, thanks for waiting for me.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing: I've never seen a Doctor Who. I think I would like it. I think I really would. I would really like it. However, years ago, I was like, yeah, I'll start on Doctor Who, and they were already 50 seasons in.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, never mind.
I think when it was in this period, like you could watch, I want to say, the ninth Doctor or something like that, and you could go back and watch the very first episodes, which are like black and white, look like cheaper than OG Star Trek. And I tried watching that original stuff. I'm like, no, we're going to just jump back to the, you know, the 21st century with that. You know, but like, there's some really good stuff. The I want to say Silent Angels, but I don't think that's right. We enjoyed it in our house.
Yeah, like I said, I think I really would enjoy it, but there's 175 seasons of it, so.
Fred started watching in 1983 on public television reruns. Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor, was the first one that he saw. And I have heard that Tom Baker's like beloved still. Okay. I feel like Weeping Angels. Thank you, Fred. I feel like Tom Baker is probably in the talks for the best, as well as maybe Matt Smith. Fred, I'll defer to you on this one. I feel like those are the names. Maybe David Tennant are the names that I've heard as far as being the top docs.
Those are also names I've heard.
Yes. David Tennant, of course, was also in Things, as was Matt Smith. Matt Smith was in Morbius, and I know how much you love
David Tennant, the Purple Man. Was David Tennant the Purple Man in Jessica Jones?
Yes, he was.
Okay, he's good. He's good. At least as Purple Man. I don't know how he is as Doctor Who, but that's the name is Doctor Who, right?
Doctor Who, yeah.
Okay.
Not Doctor Who. I don't know
if it was like the TV show was called Doctor Who, but like he's actually Dr. Schmorgenboygen. And then I, you know, look like an idiot when I'm saying Doctor Who.
Fred says everyone, all the Whovians, because that's what they're called, say Baker, Tennant, and Smith. Fred himself loved the 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi. I do remember Peter Capaldi watching some of those episodes as well. So,
first of all, they should be called Whoers.
That's... We're not gonna at the height of Doctor Who fandom in our house. I remember one year I got my wife a TARDIS coffee mug.
Okay. Did she like it?
We're still in our cabinet.
Okay. But that doesn't, it doesn't answer it, but it's still there.
Back. I mean, did. She liked it. It was her work mug for the longest time.
Oh, nice.
And then she kind of stopped drinking hot beverages. So,
you know, you can tell her she can put cold beverages in there too.
I don't think you can. I don't think you're allowed to. But it has the lid and everything. So it was a nice piece, you know. The people who run the show, Fred says, are the Whoers. And he also has a TARDIS mug. So, and Dr. Schmoygen Boygen coached Wisconsin in the 60s, Fred says. That's a nice crossover.
True. No,
with Fred here and when Josh is here, we're going to have a lot of show crossover. So
that's good.
And Fred uses his to drink scotch out of. So,
as well, you should.
It's any beverage, really, especially in a professional setting like my wife as a medical provider. Probably,
yeah.
Probably not the scotch. Yeah.
No, I was going to say she probably needs the scotch.
She's more of a wine drinker.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
When she anyway. Moving on. All right, so chaos, we have unleashed chaos, so to speak. I don't know if I put this up there just so I could make fun of it. So I apologize to everybody, but we all remember the name Kristen Stewart, right?
Good old K-Stew.
K-Stew from Twilight and then other things.
Yes. I'm assuming she's been in other things.
Yeah, no, she was. But the one thing she says she'll never do. Mm-hmm. Is a Marvel movie.
Okay.
Unless her gal pal Greta Gerwig is the director. To that I say, not sure you were ever really, like, we already have a piece of wood in the MCU by the name of Groot. You know, like, her acting style would be best. I'll never forget 20 whatever years ago when Star Wars Episode II was on HBO all the time. So I would watch it all the time. I was young and dumb. But even on the description at that time, it says wooden dialogue. This was they're trying to advertise their own show on the description on their own program. And it says wooden dialogue. And it was. I mean, we know it was not the best written Star Wars movie. And the dialogue was subpar. I'm like, that's a good movie for K-Stew. Is that type of dialogue from Episode II?
So I'm sensing that you're not a huge fan.
I can't imagine why anyone would be.
Look, I mean, some people are fans of her. I don't care.
She was in the Charlie's Angels reboot. You remember that?
No.
No, nobody. Neither does anybody else.
I never watched it. It was never my thing.
I just don't. I know that she received an Oscar nomination, but it was for a biopic of Princess Diana. So I'm pretty sure that, like, if I was in that role, I could probably get a Oscar nomination because she was so beloved. Yeah. By the way, if I shaved my goatee, grew my hair out a little bit. I'd probably look an awful lot like Princess Diana if she was a 40-something-year-old out-of-shape guy.
I'd agree. When I look at you, I think Princess Di.
Yeah. And that's another reason why the car got in the wreck. They're like, I don't know. That's bad. That was maybe a little over the edge. Easy now. All right, so let's move on to like our what you watch a lot of UFC.
Sure do.
Is it the semi-main event?
Co-main. Yeah.
I found out, first of all, the fact that this article appeared, like this link popped up in my timeline 9 years after the article was written, is a little astounding. But I was like, hey, that's cool. Let's see if we can't get a little bit of data out of that. You remember the 1997 classic Batman and Robin, George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Uma Thurman. Okay. And you remember Batman Begins, 05, Christian Bale, other people.
I remember both those movies, yes.
Yes. Allegedly, there were a lot of Batman movies that were pitched in Hollywood between those two. I didn't realize or I didn't know that with Batman and Robin being Joel Schumacher, whatever, second Batman movie, like he was lining up a third. After Batman Forever, like, oh yeah, we do the second one. We like that Batman Forever so much, we're going to give you a third. And so he started working on a third. And it sounded really good, but because Batman and Robin was the drizzling shits, it never got made. And I want to share a little bit about what we could have seen in this. I mean, I saw like Batman Unafraid. I saw a few different titles that were thrown around. Would have been George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell again, but no Alicia Silverstone. It was going to bring in new villains, Scarecrow and Harley Quinn. So we would have seen a live action version of Scarecrow, you know, prior to Batman Begins, and we would have seen Harley Quinn in a proper Batman movie, I suppose. Jack Nicholson would have been back, and they were actually looking at, as Joel Schumacher says, it was going to be very dark, and he was on the set of Face Off asking Nick Cage to play Scarecrow.
That would have been good at Scarecrow.
Couldn't you imagine, like,
yeah,
before, not, I like Nick Cage, I'm a big fan of Nick Cage's work, yeah, but like, late 90s Nick Cage when he was coming off of like Face Off and The Rock. I'm thinking,
yeah, Face Off Nick Cage.
Yeah.
As Scarecrow.
That would have been nuts. Or did you ever see Snake Eyes?
No.
So Snake Eyes is a underrated Nick Cage movie. I don't know if it's streaming. I'm not going to look it up right now, but I've got it on DVD if you ever want.
Okay.
It's a kind of a crime thrill that all takes place in one night in, I want to say Atlantic City. I don't think it was Vegas, but I digress. So it was not just going to bring back Jack Nicholson, but as we would learn more, if I see all the comments that I tried to share here, the script culminated with an ambitious all-star sequence that would have seen a hallucinating Batman face the demons of his past, where he's put on trial by the franchise's previous villains. So it would have had cameos from Danny DeVito, Michelle Pfeiffer, Tommy Lee Jones, and Jim Carrey, all leading up to a final confrontation with Jack Nicholson's Joker. The writer, the guy who was assigned to write it, I don't have his first name pulled up, but it's Protasevich, says that Schumacher wanted to tie up all the films, the Burton films and his own, building up to one climactic moment. And like, that just sounds awesome.
Yes, it's. But here's the thing. It sounds like I don't know why they canceled it or why they didn't approve it. Was it just simply because of how bad Batman and Robin did?
Yes.
I was also wondering if a part of it was like, I know they didn't want to make them darker because they wanted to sell toys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
that's actually one of the when you get into this, and this is a Hollywood Reporter article from June of 2015. Again, I don't know how it popped up now, but there were several movies. This was just one of a few movies that were pitched. And by the way, as far as who they were eyeing to play Harley Quinn, Courtney yes. Love.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm trying, because I was trying, when would that have, if it came out, when would it have come out?
I want to say probably like 99 or 2000, because
okay.
They said that it was, what did they say? They said that the movie was the most expensive movie that like you're asking for a ton of money. You know, he says the writer said he got a call from Joel Schumacher, whose main comment was that I'd written maybe the most expensive movie ever made. That might have been part of it too. But they also, there was another movie that was pitched with Lee Shapiro and Steven Weiss as screenwriters, called Batman Dark Knight, but it's DarkNight. So I don't know. But it was going to feature villain Scarecrow and Man-Bat.
We need a Man-Bat.
This list goes on and on. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Can you hear me now, Mike?
Yeah, I can hear you.
No, I can't hear you at all. Okay, there you are. Okay, cool. There was going to be a Batman Year One with Frank Miller, of course, as a screenwriter, and Darren Aronofsky to direct. And then there was going to be another Batman Beyond. They actually kicked out a Batman Beyond possibility when that show was at its peak, probably again 2000, 2001, but not a whole lot went. They couldn't, I guess, emulate that fantastic futuristic edge, is what Paul Dini said in 2012 on a Kevin Smith podcast. So,
what could have been? I mean, luckily we did get very good Batman movies.
We did. And what do you think about rumors that, or opinions perhaps, that Chris Nolan should go back and dip his toe into that Dark Knight world again? Do you think there's more meat on that bone?
I mean, there is, but why? If Christopher Nolan says, yes, I want to do it because I have a story to tell, then sure. But just to do it because, like, why not? Just do it. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Don't make it a cash grab. Make it more story. You know, make it. But because we got the ending that we did with, is that really Bruce Wayne in that bistro cafe? You know, it's ambiguous, kind of like at the end of Inception. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think leaving it open to those types of questions is just fine.
Exactly. Leave it open for whatever your interpretation of it is.
Well, Mike, I don't have anything else on my plate. Do you?
I do not. I'm ready to look at some cereal.
I was going to say nothing on my plate, but I do have something in my bowl.
I knew you were going to go there.
Thank you. Right.
Should you explain what we do now?
I think I'll be more than happy to, unless you want to.
No, go for it.
Okay. So this started, again, 6 or so weeks back with 80s movies that we found some random collage of 80s titles. I said, well, let's have some fun with this. You have to keep, I think that one was 3. We've expanded it to 5, and we've also made our own list. And we've done 90s movies. We have done Marvel and DC movies. And this week, we are doing breakfast cereals. So Mike and I have each, I think Fred's reacting to my pun. That's fine, Fred. By the way, you can join us on Facebook Live, or if you are over on the YouTube side of things, make sure that you give us a like, hit subscribe, and ring that notification bell so that you know every time we drop new content. Or if this is a success, and I'm certainly having fun with this, then next time we put up a live stream or prepare a live stream, which is usually a Friday or Saturday night. So if you're lonely, you can hang out with us. we'll do our best to entertain. But this week we are doing breakfast cereals. So we have each selected 15 different cereals. And I know that because Mike sends me his list in advance and I make sure we don't duplicate. So, which also means, Mike, I apologize because you did pick out a lot of great cereals.
Yeah. we can duplicate. Like,
I know.
Or, but, I mean, you could, I mean, there are sometimes you're just going to have to duplicate. Like, okay. If you, but also, like, I don't know. I think you probably made your list today. About an hour ago, probably, my guess is.
No, I did this hours ago.
Okay.
I had these graphics done this afternoon.
Oh, that's true. You do have to do the graphics, yeah. So
do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go
first. I will put up the cereals that I provided to Mike, and then Mike will again select five that he wants to save and abolish the rest. So
rest leave.
Here we go. Here are your choices.
And for the listeners only, I'm going to name these. So we got Golden Crisp, Kaboom, Lucky Charms, Honey Bunches of Oats, Crispix, Quaker Oatmeal Squares, Oops All Berries, Trix, Life, Grape Nuts, Cookie Crisp, Raisin Bran, Wheaties, Honeycomb, and Count Chocolate. Wow, there's some bad ones on here. Man.
Sorry. I didn't do that on purpose.
No. Here's the, don't be sorry. It makes it easier for me. Okay. Crispix, you're gone. Grape Nuts, wow. You're gone. Life, you're gone. Raisin Bran, you're gone.
Life's underrated.
Sucks. Yeah, I know. Cookie Crisp, that's definitely getting on there.
Okay.
I'm trying to write these down so I remember. Cookie Crisp is definitely on there. Count Chocula, why not? I want some chocolate in my life. I'm sure I've had Count Chocula.
You want chocolate? Is that just for cereal or is that in all?
Hey, either way.
There we go.
Either way. let's see here. Look, Lucky Charms is fine, but really it's just the marshmallows. I did have, there's a Lucky Charms protein powder that I've had before. It wasn't called Lucky Charms. It was because the brand name, you can't call it that, but I forgot. It was marshmallow, like, Lucky Marshmallows or something like that. I don't know. But I also see Trix on there. Trix are for kids, but I'm a kid at heart, so I'm taking that. Oatmeal Squares, of course not. Oh, gosh.
That was, oddly enough, that was the first one I thought of.
This is
so old and boring.
You know what? Honey Bunches of Oats. I think they're probably okay. I think, probably not great. But doable. So I'm going to put those on there. And I remember Golden Crisp, but I don't remember Cold Crisp. Am I going Golden Crisp or I'm going Oops All Berries? Since I don't remember Golden Crisp, I'm going to go Oops All Berries. And I think that's my five.
Which is funny because you have like the Kellogg's version of Golden Crisp on your list for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, so here we got, by the way, Fred says it was called Andro and Mike's forehead swelled the size of the leaders. and Fred's five from this list are Grape Nuts, Count Chocula, Lucky Charms, Wheaties, and Honeycomb.
Sure. Hey, good list.
Kaboom is not available anymore. It was discontinued in 2010, but it was big in the 70s and 80s, and it was like a fruity cereal that also had marshmallows. So it was a little bit of like Trix and Lucky Charms combined, but it was like circus themed. So I didn't have to Google that one.
Do you remember it?
I do. I remember seeing it on the shelves. I remember the clown that you have in this picture is obviously more modern version, but man, they had like a really like very early draft of a clown, like the 70s and 80s just looked very, I mean, similar, like had the keyboard, red nose, orange hair, blah, blah, blah. But this was definitely an updated version of the Kaboom clown.
By the way, before you switch, I want to know your five on this.
Oh, you want to know my five now? We usually do that later.
We do really do it later, but I want to know your five now.
All right. again, I'm old. I mean, technically you're older than me, but I'm boring. So I would do Honeycomb.
Okay.
I would do Lucky Charms. I would do Honey Bunches of Oats. I would do Count Chocula. And for its variety, or I, no, I shouldn't have versatility. That's what I was looking for. I would do the Quaker Oatmeal Squares.
Okay.
I remember Quaker Oatmeal Squares. I was probably, the first time I had them, I was probably like 7 or 8. My dad at the time was in a fast pitch softball league, and they were playing in a tournament over in Dayton, Ohio. And that was like our sit in the sun in the middle of summer, like ball game snack, was a little Ziploc baggie of Quaker Oatmeal Squares. So
you want to know a fun fact about me related to cereal, which I think we've talked about at some point in time in this podcast. I don't like milk with my cereal at all.
I do. I don't know how to.
I've had milk in my cereal. No joke. Unless I was like a very, very little and don't remember. I've had milk in my cereal one time as a kid. And I was like, this, I don't know why people do this. This, and also Nolan also doesn't like milk in his cereal.
Well,
but it wasn't something I taught him. You just see us.
Just something he came up on his own.
Yeah.
Fred is here. Yeah, I say Fred is here. Like Fred's been the only one commenting. Fred says, stick to the format, Mike, for the love of grape nuts. Grape nuts made the list because of its reference in pop culture. So again, you got to go back more than 25 years. You remember a little rap group by the name of the Insane Clown Posse?
Yes, yes.
They have a line in one of their songs, and I believe it's from the fourth card that dropped, which is Great Malenko. I apologize for all of this. It says, jump out of bed and ahead for the grape nuts. Eat them quick or they get soggy, and that sucks. And that's why grape nuts made the list, because I was like, Mike's got all the other cereals.
All right. Now should we see what some good...
Fred says, no, okay, yes. No milk ever in cereal. I don't... How do you do it? Like,
it is gross.
It's not. It's you know, it's like milk's favorite cookie is Oreo. Milk's real partner is cereal.
I don't know. I mean, you can have a glass. I guess you can have a glass of milk next to it if you want. That seems weird. But no.
Garrett has here in the last couple weeks. He's like, can I have a bowl of cereal? I'm like, yeah. So he's like, no, I don't want milk. And then he'll take like 4 bites, and then he'll go get the milk out of the fridge. I'm like, all right.
Let's see the cereals that I picked out.
Okay. I will read them. These are the ones that Mike gave me. We've got Fruity Pebbles, Honey Nut Cheerios, Frosted Flakes, Reese's Puffs, Frankenberry, Cap'n Crunch, Golden Grahams, Frosted Mini Wheats, French Toast Crunch, Honey Smacks, Apple Jacks, Cocoa Pebbles, Fruit Loops, Ghostbuster cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Yeah, you got like so many of the good ones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't think you have a single healthy one in this.
No, nope, not. Well, Honey Nut Cheerios, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. They're heart healthy.
Yeah.
All right. So right away, I can tell you the ones that I don't have to think about when I look at this. Cap'n Crunch, French Toast Crunch, and Cocoa Pebbles. They're all coming with me.
Yep.
And for that matter, I'll die on this hill. Cocoa Pebbles rock. Fruity Pebbles suck.
Okay.
That's going to be the hill I die on, apparently.
My protein now is Fruity Pebbles flavored.
I'm sorry.
No, it's delicious.
Frosted Mini Wheats. Again, that's one that you can utilize as a dry snack right out of the box. Mm-hmm. This is not my fifth selection, but Honey Smacks are the Kellogg's equivalent of Post's Sugar Crisp.
Okay.
Same thing as that, like
Golden Crisp or whatever it was.
Yeah, Golden Crisp. I said Sugar Crisp. It was Sugar Bear, Golden Crisp. Yeah, it's the honey drizzled puffed wheat. So I've got Cap'n Crunch, French Toast Crunch, Cocoa Pebbles, Frosted Mini Wheats. And for number 5, I mean, so many of these. I actually have Golden Grahams, Reese's Puffs, and Cap'n Crunch in my pantry right now. Honey Nut Cheerios is a forever standby. I'd probably go Reese's Puffs.
Yes.
So, and that would make the kids happy because that's their go-to favorite cereal.
Yeah.
Fred wants to know, what the fuck was Ghostbusters high fructose ectoplasm? like that's the thing, like that with that, that was a nice gimmick addition, or pop culture tie-in. Like I was looking, like I know I've seen like Star Wars cereal and things like that, but I couldn't find the right, one for it. So I do remember Ghostbuster cereal because the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or the ghost there was marshmallow, right?
I think so. I don't remember that cereal.
Oh, okay.
But I looked it up and I was like, I think Greg will probably remember this.
Yeah.
Because I think I looked up like 80s cereals or something like that.
I mean, I'm...
Or 90s, I don't know.
I grew up on cold cereal. Like, you know, that was my breakfast every morning, every weekday morning before school. And like even now, I on Saturdays, tomorrow morning, for example, I would love a big breakfast like pancakes or eggs or waffles with bacon, something like that. I know I'm going to have a bowl of cereal. Like I've just accepted that fact. So
yeah, growing up, usually for breakfast is whatever we ordered from my mom. She would give us a menu, and then we would place our order in. And she's you know was made from scratch pancakes, you know, French toast. She would
homemade squeeze. Biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, she would freshly squeezed orange juice from the orange grove outside.
Perfect. Gosh. That's why Mike's mom's the best.
That's right.
Fred says, I ain't afraid of no type 2 diabetes.
that was their slogan. It was.
That's right. You can't see it. We had to crop that part out of the picture. By the way, before we get to your selections off of this list, Mike, Fred says, Honey Smacks, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Frosted Mini Wheats, Honey Nut Cheerios, and Reese's Puffs.
Okay. I like it.
This is going to be controversial. I love like just toast with a little butter and cinnamon sugar on it, but I'm not a Cinnamon Toast Crunch fan.
That's okay.
I love me some French Toast Crunch, obviously, is one of my first ones. And Cap'n Crunch, I'll take with me. I don't care if it cuts the roof of my mouth.
Here's the thing. I almost had Oops All Berries in here, and I almost had Peanut Butter Cap'n Crunch, which is, of course, the superior Cap'n Crunch. But I know that you didn't like Peanut Butter Captain Crunch. I knew your one of your favorites was Captain Crunch. That's why it made the list.
I appreciate that you know that much about me. Yeah. I wish I was as good of a friend.
I just remember us talking about that you like you preferred Captain Crunch over all the other not other varieties. Series, but all the other varieties. Yes, thank you.
All right, Mike, let's hear your five.
All right.
Out of this list.
Immediately, I'm going Reese's Puffs. Those are the best, right? French Toast Crunch, by the way, discontinued. Can't get them anywhere, unfortunately, but they were delicious.
All the time.
French Toast Crunch?
They're in my store now. I will get you two boxes this weekend.
French Toast Crunch, if I looked it up, they said they were discontinued. Google does not lie to me. French
Hold on.
Toast.
No. You keep going down your list. I'm going to pull up my grocery store app.
Maybe it is. Oh, no. Well,
it did go a little way away for a little while.
Yeah.
But honest to God, like I had it a month and a half ago.
Was French Toast?
Mike, are you drunk?
No. No.
Boom. Look, I'm going to clip and save a dollar, but it's $5.59 ish nooks.
Is it the same one? Okay. It's sweet. French Toast. All right. Hey, that's good. That's good. I'm glad it's there. I was worried. So I have Reese's Puffs. I have French Toast Crunch. I'm going to go Cinnamon Toast Crunch because Greg's wrong. It's delicious. I'm going to go Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go not Frosted Flakes. Man. You know what? I'm going to go Apple Jacks.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go Apple Jacks.
There's, you know, again, you got said you gave me such a dynamic list that fifth one really could have cycled in, you know, any of them. I went Reese's Puffs because I know when the boys are like, Dad, we have cereal, we go Reese's Puffs.
Reese's Puffs are the best.
We didn't discover Fruit Loops, but we discovered how much the twins liked Fruit Loops when we went on that trip a couple years back to Wisconsin Dells. And we were just like, all right, here's a bowl of dry cereal. Try not to make a mess. And they were one and change at the time. So, of course, they made a mess. But that was just a quick and easy thing that we could give them, you know, there in the morning with a, like a cut up banana or something before we headed out to our morning adventures, and then they'd have a little bit more after nap time. So like Fruit Loops and Reese's Puffs are probably the twins' favorites.
Good choices.
If they were here sitting here, they first would be like, because I had Rob sitting in my lap when I was finalizing everything, and so he's like, that's us. So after they got over the novelty of seeing themselves, they'd be like, yeah, give me those Fruit Loops and Reese's Puffs, Dad. So Fred says, word to the wise, I wouldn't eat reimagined for modern audiences Frankenberry.
I was thinking about the Frankenberry. I think I've had it Frankenberry before, but I don't really remember it.
I don't think I've ever had Frankenberry. I've had Booberry.
Booberry, yeah.
They had another one that was like wolf themed. I don't think it was Wolfberry. Hold on. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. This is what I'm doing. Fred, yes, I'm Googling. And I don't mind. So they had Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Booberry, and they're seasonal from September 1st to October 31st. They have Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy. And they were discontinued except for limited productions. And they just introduced a new character last year called the Carmella Creeper.
I'm assuming it's a caramel flavored.
Fruit Brute is the that's the one that's the wolf, werewolf. And it is a zombie cartoon zombie DJ, caramel apple flavored corn cereal bits and marshmallows, which I don't think I've ever seen a box for that one.
No.
So, well.
Oh, we should ask what category we should do next. So if anybody has suggestions.
That's right. Anybody at all?
Yeah.
Or the one person who's been with us all night long commenting.
Yes.
Fred, carte blanche. This is now your show. And I'm again reduced to panelist. Fred, what topic should we kick out a bunch of unnecessary options on next year or next week?
Fred, I'm just gonna tell you, if it's anything sports related, it's not gonna be good for me. So if there's
unless it was like UFC fighters.
Maybe, yeah, but that's not gonna be good for Greg then.
That's true. I'll be like, and I'm not even allowed to, say Brock Lesnar anymore. But they're Matt Hughes, right? He's from Illinois.
Matt Hughes, yeah. I mean, you could go former UFC fighters if you want. So you could have Brock Lesnar on there.
No, I don't want to.
But again, it would not be good for you. Just like if they were like quarterbacks, I'd be like, I couldn't name one.
Well, Fred says favorite 90s sci-fi shows.
How about just favorite 90s shows or 90s shows?
We'll do 90s shows, and then we can eliminate the excess. So 90s TV, we've done 90s movies. So next week we'll do 90s TV shows.
TV. I like that.
So Fred, thank you. Thank you for being here. That's two nights in the Five Heart Show. Last night went 2 hours.
That's not long enough.
You are the one who said
5 hours. First of all, it's called Five Heart. Five Heart, we're going 5 hours with five guys.
We,
I don't know how many guys you have on there.
Last night it was me and Haas, another guy, and a lady, Minnie. And Haas was giving me shit. You talk about five guys. Somebody, he was talking about his trip to the gym, and I said, I don't think you need to go to the gym. That's a waste. He's like, tell that to my, three whatever bench and my four whatever squat. I was like, well done. You can bench and squat me. And he's like, you're not that fat. I was like, oh shit.
By the way, impressive.
It is. Somebody in the comments, and we call him the Chatterfields, said, if Greg puts on any more weight, it's going to be the Five Chin podcast.
Oh, that's brutal. Five Chin podcast.
It was a good time. We have a good community over there of laughs. So, all right, next week, 90s TV shows, and we'll have a lot of fun with that. Fred, thank you, everybody. Don't be afraid. Next week, jump on in here. I enjoyed doing this live, Mike.
Yeah.
It's fun. Got some new voices, so to speak, or at least in text form on the show, some live feedback. So we appreciate that. And we'll do it again live here on YouTube, on Facebook. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Josh, enjoy time with the in-laws. I know you'll come back and watch this later. The good news, Josh, is we didn't spoil anything. We didn't talk about any movies that we... I'll tell you what, this isn't a spoiler, and I almost forgot. I want to get it in here right at the end. Did you ever see the movie Split? It's a M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's from the, like, the Glass and Unbreakable universe, and it stars James McAvoy.
James McAvoy, he's Backaboy. I did not see it, but I know of it.
Okay. It's on, I believe, Peacock, if you have. Okay. And it's the one where McAvoy essentially plays like a, was it a disassociative?
Yeah, disorder.
Disorder, something like that. Yeah. I think back in the day they just called it schizophrenia, and I'm not trying to minimize it. Which is where the Split comes in. Terrific movie. And you watch McAvoy go from like one persona to another, and it's just, you see his facial like expressions change. And he did a really great job in the movie. So I watched that this past week, and I really enjoyed it. So if you haven't watched Split, like I said, it's on Peacock, and it might be on other services as well. So yeah, that I just want to make sure that I got that out there. Fred says, I'll see you guys next week. If I'm soberish, have a good evening. So
see you.
Fred says they had a schizophrenic kid in the bowling league. He was excited. Like, is it true that like one personality is a terrific bowler and the other one's the drizzling shits? That's definitely what they kind of express in Split. So anyway, thanks Fred. Thanks everybody for watching, whether it's on YouTube or Facebook. We'll see you again next week for the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. I'm Greg Mahochko. This is Nerds United. We remind you each and every week, Mike, to be kind
and rewind.